Hello, everyone, and welcome to another America's Conservative Podcast. I am your host, Ed Dent. So it's a beautiful Wednesday here in Madeira Beach, Florida. The weather has been absolutely 100% spectacular, and I think it's going to continue to be that way the rest of the week. I'm going to be being a spotter at the tournament this weekend, a disc golf tournament up there in Clearwater. My buddy Cameron is the tournament director, and I'm going to be the spotter on hole 16 at the Cliff Stevens course where the tournament is being played. The reason you need a spotter in that hole is there's a lot of water on that hole, and there needs to be somebody there to tell the players where the disc went in and where it went into the water, because there's going to be a lot of players going into the water out of bounds and those types of issues, because sometimes it's hard on that hole for the players to tell exactly what happened. So I'll be looking forward to that. I'll be seeing a lot of guys that I know. This is actually they have the tournament two weekends. This first weekend is, can I say it, for the lesser players, the lower divisions, the recreational players, the intermediate division players, which sometimes I play an intermediate, but I'm not playing an intermediate this time. But those divisions are playing this weekend, and then next weekend, which would be the last weekend in April, the higher divisions, the professionals will be playing, and I'll be playing in advanced there. So I'm looking forward to that. I played decently well at Cliff back in February when the tournament was there, partly there and then down at Maximo, but I'll have to play better this time, and I think I am playing better. So we'll just have to see, but I am, like I said, playing in a higher division, so we'll just hopefully I can finish in the top half. That would be really nice. If I can get a finish like I did up at Floral Park, finishing fifth out of 13, if I could do something like that at Cliff Stevens a week and a half from now, I'd be pretty pleased. Pretty pleased. Maybe you saw that, so I'll be there all this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, going to be a long weekend. Because the course is like 25 holes. Going to be out there a while. But did you see that my Pittsburgh Pirates, one of their star players, Starling Marte, 80-game suspension for steroid use? This topic, I don't know if it's ever come up on this show. I know I've talked about it in podcasts before, but I don't know if I've talked about it since I got on Red State Talk Radio. I'm actually a believer. I know I'm in a very small minority of people. I actually believe that steroids should be used in baseball and in all sports, actually. I know that that is the antithesis of everything that we're supposed to believe about sports, but if there were steroids for engineers and scientists and doctors, say they could inject themselves and suddenly become smarter, suddenly their IQ would be boosted by 40 points. And still, the steroids that they take would still have all the side effects that steroids for performance-enhancing, physical performance-enhancing steroids do. Would we as a society truly say, no, those doctors can't take them, no, those engineers can't take them, no, because it's cheating? If engineering and science and everything is going to progress, it needs to progress, quote-unquote, naturally. Would we say that? If there were steroids for the mind that could make everybody smarter, would we outlaw them when it came to occupations? Teachers, accountants, pick any profession. Would we outlaw them? No, we wouldn't. Then why do we do it in sports? It's the same thing. It's this baseball player, he's just as much an employee, or that's his occupation, just as much as anybody else in any other occupation, right? So why are, now I know that Starling Marte taking the steroids is illegal. It's not illegal, it's just against the rules in sports. It's not like he's going to go to jail for it. But there's a ban on steroids in all sports. So I realize that he should be penalized for breaking that rule. But I'm saying overall, I think steroids should be allowed. If these men and women want to take those drugs to increase their performance abilities, then they should be allowed to, because we would allow anybody else in any other profession to do it. Are we really going to say that we are going to hold back scientific exploration or cancer research or multiple sclerosis research or any Lou Gehrig's research because we're saying, no, 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 we can't give the doctors that because that would just be wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? I think that in addition, I happen to believe that a lot of this testing that goes on in these sports isn't 100% foolproof. There's that as well. I say let him do it. And I know there's going to be players, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to damage my body. I want to, you know, I know steroids down the road are really going to be affect me. Then that's a decision they're going to have to make with themselves. They, you know, nobody is guaranteed an occupation in this world. At least that's not the way it should be. You're not guaranteed, you know, you have no right to be a professional athlete. Are you willing to do what it takes or not? It's no different than rock climbing. You want to be a professional rock climber, a well-known rock climber, then you're going to have to take risks. That's just the way it is. Just the way it is. And I know this is a very small minority of people in the United States, probably in the world, think that way. But you know, I'm a big guy about the human mind. And if there were steroids out there that could improve the human mind, make us all smarter, boost our IQ points, 50 points, 100 points, then I would be for it because I think that we would see a lot of benefits in our society from it. That's what I believe. So I'm all for steroids in baseball and in other sports because I think that is congruent with my thinking in other professions, even though those steroids for the human mind don't exist right at that point. I believe someday they will exist, and then we're going to have some – I think there will be a long discussion about that. Probably be well after I leave this earth. And also I saw that Aaron Hernandez hung himself. What a nasty guy he ended up being. Hung himself in his cell this morning. He is dead. Bad guy. Let's move on to the show. John Ossoff, talked about him yesterday. There was this runoff going in Georgia in the 6th district. Flip the 6th was a hashtag yesterday. I guess, amongst Democrats on Twitter. Unfortunately for Democrats, John Ossoff did not get to that 50% number. He got to about 48%, which he should delight in, given that that's better than Hillary Clinton did in that district just 6 months ago. And it's probably the best showing that a Democrat has had in that district in a while. However, you should also know that this district is not a really, really deep red district. In fact, Trump barely won this district back in November, and actually Mitt Romney in 2012 won it more easily than Donald Trump did. So, not sure exactly. It's maybe a purplish district, but it's definitely one Republicans should win, but it's certainly not like the one that we had in Alabama a few weeks ago where there was a special election, a runoff. But the Democrats sunk $8 million into this race and now have nothing to show for it. But there is going to be another election. It's going to be John Ossoff against a woman. What was her name? I didn't write it down. I think her name was Karen Handel, H-A-N-D-E-L, like the composer Handel. And we'll just have to see how much the Democrats really want to continue to try to win this. 48%, and that's about what John Ossoff got, was better than anything, any number, was a higher percentage than he had gotten in pre-polling. I had read that he had been getting in the low 40s, I guess 41, 42, 43%. And he outperformed those numbers to get 48%, which probably, given Republican thought in that area is, man, that was a little too close. You know, 2 percentage points from getting majority, and then there would have been no runoff, and then the district would have flipped. I'm thinking that Ms. Handel is going to end up winning this district, but I don't know how well she's going to win it. We'll see if Democrats want to show up again. But I think it also shows how bad of a candidate, even though she got 66 million votes, how bad of a candidate Hillary Clinton is. That a young guy with no name recognition at all, admittedly couldn't even vote for himself because he didn't live in the district, so he was a carpetbagger, and still he gets a higher percentage of the vote than Hillary Clinton did 6 months ago. This illustrates how bad she was, and it also illustrates how we had two of the worst candidates in American history running in 2016. That this nobody would get more votes, or a higher percentage of votes, than Hillary Clinton did. Yes, she got 66 million votes, but outside of the urban centers of the United States, everybody disliked her. And this also shows, I think, over once again, that Donald Trump, how bad of a candidate he actually was. Yes, he got 63 million votes. Yes, it's more than any Republican out there. But he got beat by 3 million by a woman who was pretty much disliked by millions and millions and millions and millions of people, to the point where Democrats showed up in a larger percentage for this unknown guy than they did for her just 6 months ago. So the question now is, when will Democrats win again? Is there going to be another special election? I have to admit that I don't know. Maybe there are some other ones that are going to happen between now and the midterms in 2018. I'm sure the Democrats are going to get a shot somewhere at some point. Somebody retires, somebody dies, somebody gets appointed to something. I happen to believe that the 2018 midterm elections are wide open. I know that's not what I'm being told. I know that I'm reading everywhere that in 2018 the Senate is looking really good for the Republicans. And because the Republicans have such an advantage in the House that there's no way they could flip, the Democrats could flip that many seats in that amount of time. I don't buy into any of that. I just don't. And it's not because I want them to lose. I'm not a part of the party anymore. But it's not necessarily that I want them to lose. But I just don't think that you can take anything for granted. We don't know what's going to go on between now and 2018. You know me. I think that if this administration continues on this trajectory, then I think it's going to be fairly difficult for Republicans to win and keep their majorities in 2018. They may keep them, but the Senate may go 50-50, and the House may get to the point where it's just a difference of a few seats, where it's just virtually tied. That's where I think this is going, and I think that that's what history tells us as well. Midterm elections are usually not good for the party in the executive office. And Barack Obama had to find that out the hard way in 2010, despite him getting overwhelming numbers as president, the highest popular vote, numbers of votes in American history, easily beat John McCain, who, if you didn't know, he was a war hero too, easily beat him. And then just a couple years later, it's like that election never happened. So, I don't know. We'll just have to see. But for now, the Democrats are scrambling around trying to figure out where they're going to win the next election. I wonder if any of them are going to claim that the Russians were involved in this runoff and, you know, kept John Ossoff from getting to 50%. I wonder. Although did I read some story? I didn't write it down. That some voting machines were stolen shortly before this election. Is that true? Or is that like an Alex Jones fake news thing? I did read somewhere that a couple of machines were stolen. Of course, that just sends a conspiracy theorist on the liberal side, you know, into a tizzy. So, funny. Let's move on to something else. There was a shooting in Fresno yesterday. The guy's name was Corey. That's what he called himself, Corey Muhammad. Actually, his real name, his given name, his birth name was Corey Taylor. And he went on a shooting spree in Fresno, killed three white people, and he said he was caught. He was caught alive by the police. And he said that he was just out there trying to kill white people. Didn't matter. It just happened to be that he killed three white men. I think that if he had run into some white women, he would have killed them as well. There is a story that he came upon a Hispanic woman with her children and let them go. Throughout this shooting spree, and I think there was a video of it, a real quick video of it, of him running down the street and by some amateur from a house or a building in the area from a phone, and him running and you hear the gunshots. But he was yelling, Allahu, is that how you say it? Allahu Akbar, which means glory to God or whatever it means, as he was doing this. And so people were thinking that this was some sort of terrorist attack. And I don't think it was necessarily that. I'm inclined to believe. I suppose that eventually we're going to find out that maybe he went to a few terrorist sites or something like that. But once again, I'm going to be doubtful whether this can be actually electronically or physically connected to any sort of terrorism. Instead, and you should know something else, his name was Corey Muhammad. But he nicknamed himself Black Jesus. So I guess he was trying to be very diverse. He was Muslim, but he was also a Christian. Hey, who knows? And I guess he was a rapper who was selling an album out on, what was it called? The album was called Real Story Corey and had an album out on Amazon.com that I don't know if it's still there. Maybe they've pulled it by this time. I have no idea. And he also, it turns out, last week, he had already been wanted for another murder, a murder of a security guard at a Motel 6. I don't know what exactly the circumstances were there. But as I've told you, I think that this kind of behavior is going to continue as long as terrorism exists in the world. And it seems like ISIS and other groups continue to hold the ground that they've held for so long, even though we hear once in a while that they're being beat back. ISIS is still a danger. ISIS is still killing people, is still torturing people. It still exists. It's giving all sorts of different groups and countries a hard time in the Middle East. And so it shouldn't be a surprise if you have just some criminal like this guy who knows what makes him tick. Yes, maybe it was he wanted to start a race war. He wouldn't be the first one who wanted to do something like that. But here he is, maybe reading the news, sees that these terrorists are saying what they're saying, and said, hey, that'll be pretty cool. They'll think I'm a terrorist as I'm going down the street killing these white people. And it could be that although he's not a terrorist, he got some motivation from hearing about what ISIS and the rest of these terrorist groups are doing. This is the collateral damage of not handling terrorism the way we should have for the last 15 years. there is going to be this fallout. And you know what I've said about some of these terrorist attacks. I think I know I said it about the Orlando shooting from last year. That does that guy do that if ISIS doesn't exist? If ISIS would have been destroyed in a couple months instead of existing to this day from roughly, what, 2010, 2011 until now? If ISIS has been destroyed, whether boots on the ground or from 50,000 feet, whether it's the mother of all bombs or nuclear weapons, does that terrorist attack with that guy happen? Probably not. I'm not saying that his ideas about Christians and about Western culture would change. But maybe he wouldn't be so motivated to go out and you know, give one for the team. You know, do one for the team, kill some people for the team because he feels like he's on the ISIS team. There wouldn't be any team to be on. It's the same way I look at the San Bernardino shooting. I know that neither of those, that husband and wife, were good people. Horrible, horrible, horrible people. But do they shoot up that Christmas party or what, the training session? It was a combination of both. Do they shoot it up if ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the rest of these groups had been killed and been destroyed years ago? No. No. But these kinds of people, they get motivated by those groups. They don't have to go to one of their training camps. They don't have to talk to one of these people on the phone. They don't have to trade emails with them. It's just enough that they know that these groups exist for then these people to go off on their own and do what they've done. Now, I guess you could include the Fort Hood shooting in this. I'm not sure that the Boston Marathon bombing falls into the same category, but the shoe bomber, the underwear bomber, all of these people, do they do what they do if the United States and other countries had just gone out and destroyed these terrorists from day one? And instead of doing kind of what we've done, just being relatively too nice, and that goes back to the George W. Bush years too. But you can include all of that. You can include, of course, Barack Obama pulling us out of Iraq. I think that exacerbated, of course. I believe that led to the rise of ISIS. If it would have stayed there, ISIS would have been a nuisance at best. But these groups still, whether we like it or not, these groups still exist. And they get too much time on the internet. They get too much time on the news. And we shouldn't then be surprised at some point that people read this news. And even if they aren't Muslim, even if they have no connections to any of the these groups in any way, we shouldn't be surprised if we then have a guy like Corey Muhammad who goes out into the streets, starts shooting white people, and yells, Allahu Akbar. As you know, if you've been listening to this program a while, this is the same way I feel about Black Lives Matter. These black people who are probably just generally just decent people, but they feel like they also have to support the team. Because they're black, they have to go along with other black people. And I think of that situation in Texas, where the woman got pulled over and she ended up misbehaving with the cop. And before she knows it, she's in jail. And then before long, she commits suicide while she's in there. Does that any of that happen if Black Lives Matter doesn't exist? If those lies that have been told about hands up, don't shoot, and the rest of it continue. If that stuff never happens, do these regular black people do any of this? I don't think so. I think of the video that was taken of that cop pulling the guy over, and his girlfriend or wife is videotaping the pullover, and the cop ends up shooting the guy. Does that happen? If all of these lies about cops never happen. I don't think so. But I think that too many of these people, they feel like they have to do something. It's no different than fraternities and sororities and being part of a group and feeling like you have to do something wrong because that's what the other people in the group would expect you to do, to be defiant or resist or to not comply with what the police officer or anybody else says wants you to do. To me, it all falls under the same umbrella. And this is what happens when the good people don't take care of our business, where we don't frame Black Lives Matter in the correct way. And of course, the media is partially responsible for it. But I would like to think that the black people in this particular circumstance regarding Black Lives Matter are smarter than that. That they have to understand that all of this is lies. And like it or not, at least in the United States, Black Lives Matter have free speech. But I do think that a lot of these things that have happened in the last few years in the United States with black people who seemingly are good people, then acting strangely or resisting arrest and then get shot, it's all brought out because of Black Lives Matter. And these black people feel that they have to stick up for the cause. Otherwise, they'll be made fun of. They'll be called house slaves or something like that, which is crazy. And that's what's going on, I think, with this Corey Muhammad and a bunch of other incidents that are terrorist-related or not. That these guys, these people get motivated just because ISIS exists, just because Al-Qaeda exists, just because there is radical Islam and these people who are violent have a voice. And that's tough. But it can be fixed. I mean, it can all be fixed legally, morally, ethically. It's just you have the courage to do it. And I think that we as the good people, whether you're white, black, or whoever, Christian, atheist, or whatever, I just don't know if we have enough guts yet. And just because we have Donald Trump as president and he acts all tough and everything, I don't think that has changed anything. We see, well, we're just firing missiles into Syria, like that's going to fix something. ISIS still exists. Terrorism is just as powerful now as it was before Donald Trump became president. And he was saying that Barack Obama's not doing this, not doing that. Donald Trump's not doing much either. Not doing much either. Is there any proof that any of these terrorist groups are fearful of the United States? Have they laid down their arms and say, uh-oh, Donald Trump's coming after us, we better behave now? Is there any proof of that? Nope. I mean, even you have to remember there is an analogy to this, and it goes back to the late 70s, early 80s. In Iran, stormed the American embassy, took all those hostages. And then what happened? And Jimmy Carter tried to do this and tried to do that, and he had to try to do a rescue attempt that horribly failed. But then what happened? And of course, Democrats to this day think there was some conspiracy involved. Ronald Reagan got into office, and the day that he took the oath, those hostages were released. I can understand why Democrats might be a little conspiratorial about that, but I happen to believe, and I think that was proven in 8 years as Ronald Reagan is president, that the Iranians knew the different kind of hombre was becoming president. And they had listened to his speeches and they said, you know what? I don't think this guy is Jimmy Carter. I don't know if we want to have any American hostages within our border if Ronald Reagan becomes president. And I think the way he handled things, nature's not perfectly. I realize the Pan Am 103 happened during Ronald Reagan's time in office. I realize that. Of course, there was the Soviet shoot down of a career in airlines for no reason while Ronald Reagan was president. It wasn't a perfect 8 years regarding foreign policy. But it was definitely a time where I think the rest of the world, the enemies of the United States, kept in line a lot more than they did before that. I'm not seeing that so far with Donald Trump. It seems North Korea is worse. And I don't know if China's going to go along with us or not. And Iran is still trying to make nuclear weapons, and Russia is still doing what it's doing. Crazy times, man. Got to go to the break. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.
The voice of American conservatism, WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back at America's Conservative Podcast. Let's move on to something else. I'm going to continue to believe that this shooting, and by the way, I'm going to continue to believe that this shooting in Fresno was not necessarily terrorism related. I do not believe that Corey Muhammad was a terrorist. He might have taken cues from what he saw and what he knew about terrorists, but I don't believe that he was necessarily a terrorist. Let's move on to something else. So it turns out, you know, and this is how I unfortunately, I think this is how the time as Donald Trump as president is going to go. And this is one of the big worries of him being president. Remember last week? And I guess I had fallen for it. I guess everybody fell for it, so I don't feel too bad. Everybody believed that the Vinson, the Carl Vinson, which is an aircraft carrier, and all of its accompanying ships and submarines, was on its way to North Korea. Remember that? And Trump, in an interview, said last week that we are sending an armada, with the clear indication that those ships were going into the Sea of Japan to keep an eye on North Korea. That is what the administration sold. That's what a lot of conservative outlets sold. That's what a lot of liberal outlets sold. That's the message that was being sent. We now find out that that wasn't the case at all. And in fact, the Carl Vinson was headed to the Indian Ocean to do some practicing maneuvers with the Indian Navy. And only now is that carrier group headed back the opposite direction. And if we're to believe this, if you want to believe it, that it's now headed to the area, the Sea of Japan, near Japan, within striking distance of North Korea. Only now is that carrier group headed there. Now, I can understand that. I can understand misinformation or disinformation, especially when it comes to our military. You never want to tip your hand with things, and it's probably, you know, it's one of those things. You think back to the good old days of maybe World War II. Back then, the media kept its mouth shut in England. People who were the reporters, they could see that something was being lined up. They could tell all of these ships and airplanes. I mean, they could see. They could take pictures. They could see what's going on. They knew something was going to be happening. But they kept their mouth shut. And even the Germans themselves, they had spies. They knew something was going on, but they didn't know exactly what day D-Day was going to happen. They knew that the Allies were going to do something. They thought they knew where. They got that wrong. And in fact, even after D-Day, the Germans continued to believe that there was going to be Allied soldiers and ships coming ashore at Calais, which never happened. The Germans totally got it wrong. But back then, in that day, the media would keep its mouth shut about what they saw and what it saw so as to not hurt the military plans. That doesn't happen these days. So given that, I can understand if if the administration and the military defense department wants to put out disinformation. I get that. The problem is this. I don't believe that the North Koreans and the Chinese and everybody were fooled by this at all. Because those are the people that disinformation should be meant for. Specifically the North Koreans. You want to tell them that you're heading there, but you're heading somewhere else just to kind of throw them off. But even so, shouldn't it be the opposite? If you're going to put disinformation about your military out there, shouldn't you say, oh, no. I know it looks like we're going off the shores of North Korea. We're really going to be heading to the Indian Ocean. North Korea, China, they have nothing to worry about. We're going to go over there. We have the schedule maneuvers with the Indian government. Of course, we're allies with India. We're going to do some things with them in the Indian Ocean for a few days. That's what's going to happen. After that, we just can't tell you. We just can't say. Meanwhile, the entire carrier group is headed full steam to the area off the coast of North Korea. So, I'm not sure that all of this talk about how we were sending these ships off to the coast of North Korea was disinformation. I happen to think it was just lying. I think that it was a way to try to intimidate the North Koreans. I think it was. Now, the reason, you know why that won't work? Because I'm sure the Chinese and the North Koreans knew exactly where that carrier group was and where it was going. So, really all this was then Donald Trump and other people saying that this carrier group was headed to North Korea when it was really headed to the Indian Ocean. What it was meant to do was just to influence the American people. It was a lie to the American people. Meanwhile, our enemies, North Korea, and our somewhat friend, somewhat enemy, at least in this circumstance concerning North Korea, knew exactly where I think our Navy was going. And it certainly does feel like nothing but a big show, doesn't it? Why do I think that Donald Trump said these things? We're going to send an armada. We're sending an armada over there right now. Was just to pump all of you up just to make him look good. Meanwhile, that's not where the ships were going at all. And seemingly, probably, the North Koreans knew it. The Chinese knew it. Probably even the Japanese, at least the government, knew it. The only people that didn't know it were the American people. Because they were being lied to. And once again, I don't think this was disinformation so as to throw off our enemy. Because I think our enemies knew exactly where the ships were going. I mean, the carrier group's right there. It's right there. The Indian Ocean is just to the west of China. Very strange situation. So all that time I spent talking about the Carl Vinson being off the coast of North Korea and what that could mean, just a bunch of lies. I think it was just a bunch of bravado from this administration. Now, are we to believe now that Carl Vinson is now? Now, I've read what the administration is saying. Well, things got screwed up, and there was a bad timing on the issue of the press release, and actually, we were going to be heading to North Korea after we went to the Indian Ocean, that carrier group, and somehow that got lost. I realize they're making up all bunch of excuses. Well, I know what Donald Trump said last week. In fact, there's video of it out there. We're sending an armada. The clear meaning is that we're sending an armada off the coast of North Korea. But that's not where it was going. I continue to tell you, this administration is going to be such a disaster. And it's because of stuff like this. It doesn't matter what the Secretary of Defense says. This is why I continue to say, none of these cabinet members mean anything. When you have a president who acts like this. Remember what he said. This AHCA bill, best thing ever. Was it? Conservative members in the House didn't seem to think so. Mexico's going to pay for that wall. No, they're not. We're sending an armada to North Korea. No, we're not doing that either. Now, it may eventually get there, but it didn't get there when Donald Trump said it was going to get there. And he's a showman. He's P.T. Barnum. He just wants to make waves. And you may say, well, he's trying to send North Korea a message. Yeah, through the American media. North Korea isn't going to care what Donald Trump says. It only cares where our planes and ships and submarines are. And they knew that he was lying. If Kim Jong-un was watching that, he was surely getting intelligence probably from the Chinese. That, you know what? He says that armada is headed to the shores off North Korea. That's not true. Don't worry about it. So there was no intimidation going on, even though that's... But certainly Donald Trump tried to make it look that way. Wanted to make it look like he was getting in the face of Kim Jong-un, and he says they're gonna set off a nuclear device, a test. We're going to have armada sitting right off his coast. No, they're not. The armada is going to be over in the Indian Ocean. It's a little bit embarrassing. It does, you know, I have to admit, in a funny part of this, that in hearing this story, it did remind me of that early scene in Top Gun where, remember at the beginning, there's the dog fight, and then the one fighter pilot's having some PTSD in his plane. He's not sure he's beginning to be able to land it. Remember Cougar? And Tom Cruise flies up beside him, tries to help the guy, you know, land on the carrier. And Tom Cruise says to that other jet, "Hey, any of you guys seen an aircraft carrier around here anywhere?" That's kind of the line I thought of when I thought about Donald Trump saying that the carrier group was going to be one place when it's really in another place. I can imagine some reporters or somebody from maybe Japan. Well, the Carl Vinson and it's all of its accompanying ships is supposed to be out here in the Sea of Japan. So the guy gets in a helicopter, starts flying over the Sea of Japan and starts saying, "Hey, any of you guys seen an aircraft carrier around here anywhere?" Meanwhile, the aircraft carrier is over in the Indian Ocean. Just kind of a funny thought that came to me. But you can expect this stuff to continue simply because Donald Trump is a big talker and a big showman. And I continue to say he's a blowhard. I think that, you know, he'll shoot those missiles into Syria, which was a hugely bad idea for all reasons I've already stated. And you know my position about doing anything with North Korea, that it has to be done with those other countries because they will be the ones who ultimately will bear the brunt of the destruction if North Korea wants to strike back. North Korea is not going to be able to strike back at our carrier group or anything like that. It's too well defended. But certainly, North Korea can send some missiles into South Korea, send them in, you know, toward Japan. And that's why I think it has to be continued to be a group effort. But all Donald Trump wants to talk about is how his armada, and armada is a spectacular word. It's a word that doesn't get used enough. How is it that there hasn't been some rock group named Armada? I'm going to guess there has been maybe some garage band that I've never heard of. But how is it there hasn't been some well-known rock band with a ton of hits that wasn't named Armada? What a great great word. But unfortunately, and I know dictionary-wise that's the correct use of the word, but unfortunately for me, when I think of Armada, I think back to the times of kings and queens and the Spanish Armada and the French Armada and the British Armada and them all going out there fighting over trade routes and stuff like that. That is not really what the United States Navy is. Dictionary-wise, yes, it's an armada. But I would prefer if a president's going to talk about our military and where this ship is going or whatever, a group of ships, I just say the I just like him to call it what it is. A carrier group is headed here, not an armada. I think that's the wrong terminology to use in the United States, because I think it has a negative connotation through history. But being that maybe Donald Trump thinks of himself as a king, maybe we shouldn't be surprised. But I still love that word armada. In fact, I'm wondering, you know, in disc golf, you don't maybe know this, but all of these discs that we use, they all have names. Cobra, T-Bird, Thunderbird, Sidewinder, to differentiate one disc from another, because there's a variety of different kinds of discs you use for disc golf. And I have to say I'm surprised. I don't think there's ever yet been a disc called an armada. It's interesting. Like there's an escape and a witness and a sheriff and an AVR and all these different names from different companies. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of discs. I don't know if one has ever been named an armada. Great word, though. And I will compliment Donald Trump on that word. I just don't like it being used by a president of the United States. So Carl Vinson, we'll see if it's actually going to the shores of off the coast of North Korea, or maybe it's headed back to San Diego. Who knows? Or back to Hawaii. We'll see. I mean, you have to remember, at the time, everybody was thinking, Carl Vinson's right there. I mean, we could actually be shooting cruise missiles into North Korea within the next 24 hours. No, they weren't. They were going over to the Indian Ocean. The only people who were fooled by all this are the American people. Because Kim Jong-un, the president of China, I'm sure they knew exactly where these ships were. And they were like, Donald Trump, big talking again. I mean, Kim Jong-un and the president of China must think the American people are the biggest bunch of suckers there's ever been. Really, especially given this incident. And I can't say, I mean, I don't know what else we're supposed to think. You know, I don't know. I don't know if there was any indication elsewhere of where that group was going that people would have known, the average American would have known. Some secret military website that says, no, they're not really headed to North Korea. Actually, it's going to the Indian Ocean. I'm going to guess maybe at least one American, regular American knew that, but what a very unusual story. Let's move on to something else. Speaking of North Korea, Mike Pence, vice president and future speaker at Grove City. I didn't even do that story. Somehow that got lost in the mix. There are some students at Grove City who aren't happy that Mike Pence is going to be speaking at commencement in May. They think that Grove City is becoming too aligned with the Republican Party, and they think these students think that Grove City should be more aligned with Christ, Jesus Christ, instead of the Republican Party, because Grove City is a school that is associated with the Presbyterian Church in the United States. You don't have to be, of course, Presbyterian to go there. I was Catholic when I went there. It's not necessarily a religious school, certainly not like Liberty University or anything like that, or Geneva in Pennsylvania, where you're not even allowed to dance. But there's something, I read this article about these students who are protesting Mike Pence speaking there, and it certainly reeks of something. And I thought of the story that when I went to Grove City, and this is one of the reasons I don't, you know, look upon my college years as the greatest. And I think that it's that those 4 years greatly influenced how I look, not at Christianity, because I consider myself to be a Christian, but how I look at many Christians. I went to a school with a lot of kids who were raised in very religious families. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of them were not good people. They were arrogant. They were self-righteous. And they kind of reminded me of this kid who is heading up this petition to stop, I guess, Mike Pence from speaking there. I mean, we actually had kids on campus who protested Halloween because they thought it was a satanic holiday. How about that? So, Christians can be just as demagogic and self-righteous and kooky and everything else as much as any other group in the world. And that's what I saw my 4 years there. And I think that that's why my Christianity and my faith is somewhat tempered, I think. But getting back to Mike Pence going to the DMZ, that area, I've told you, North Korea is fascinating to me. But that area right there where North Korea and South Korea meet, and they have those buildings there where they go across the dividing line between North and South, and the North Korean soldiers who stand there and just stare endlessly into the North, and they stand there right at the edge of the building, like half of their body can be seen and half of their body cannot be seen. I think they do that so, you know, in case that, so they aren't shot. And then there are North Korean soldiers on the other side. And you don't realize that how many incidents have happened over the years that have gotten soldiers killed, have gotten people killed in that area of the DMZ. Even though we think these days the DMZ can't cross with all those landmines, that's true. But there are areas where North Korea and South Korea come together very closely and there aren't landmines. And over the years, those have been places where a lot of bad things have happened. But it is amazing to watch any documentaries on that area and see people go into those buildings where the chairs are. And there are soldiers who 24 hours a day stand across the room from each other and never say anything to each other. It is amazing. It is really something out of some science fiction novel or some comic book to have a story where there is two enemies who stare at each other across a line in the sand, who stare at each other all the time and never say a word to each other, even though they're within 100 feet of each other. That is crazy. It's amazing that that exists in the real world. So I watched that. I watched Mike Pence standing there. I guess he wasn't supposed to go out there, and he had like 100 Secret Service men around him while he went out to look at the DMZ. I think he was supposed to just be in one of the buildings near there, but then he decided he was going to walk out. And I'd say he got to within 100 feet of that line between North Korea and South Korea that's there, and you could, if nobody was there, just freely walk right into North Korea, but with all the soldiers there, you'd get grabbed and be drugged back, and who knows what would happen. But it's just, you know, I've told you, I don't have many designs on traveling the world or anything, but I think that it would be very cool for me to go to South Korea and go up to the DMZ and experience that. I think that might be a bucket list item before I leave this earth, just to experience that and see what that's like, because it's so bizarre to me. This is nothing. It was nothing like, you know, with West Berlin and East Berlin. That was much more of a traditional demarcation with the wall, and there's soldiers over there and they're just doing their business, and the NATO forces are over here doing their thing. Nobody's standing there at attention within feet of somebody else. And of course, it was a lot easier to get between East Berlin and West Berlin than it is between South Korea and North Korea. But Mike Pence was there, and then in a few weeks, he's going to be going up to Grove City to speak. That's in the business, we call that range, going from the DMZ to Grove City within a couple weeks. That's certainly a range of cultures he'll be experiencing. But I gotta go. You can see me or find me at edwarddensel.com, my Twitter account, USA Podcast. Find the show Monday through Friday, 2 a.m. Eastern Time, 11 p.m. Pacific Time, on Prime Channel, RedStateRadio.com. Find the show also at Podomatic and iTunes. And then my other show, Unfound, This recent episode just kicking butt. Lots of downloads, lots of people taking interest in it. Find that at Unfound Podcast on Twitter, also Podomatic and iTunes. I gotta go. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.